Welcome to Perspectives, brought to you by Physicians Practice. I'm Drew Boxler, editor of Physicians Practice. Every 2 weeks, we explore key areas of a successful, thriving, independent practice. We'll hear from experts in the industry regarding best practices for billing and collections, answer your top coding questions, analyze current legal trends, malpractice landmines to avoid, and look at the hottest tech innovations to increase productivity and enhance the patient experience. Let's get started. Practices are still recovering from the rapid drop in patient activity earlier this year, and with secondary waves of COVID-19 infections popping up across the country, now might be one of the best times to establish patient communication strategies if you haven't already. Today, we will hear from Dr. Tashfeen Akram, a diagnostic radiologist and co-founder of Luma Health, on how solo and small group practices can evolve their patient communication strategies during the pandemic and set themselves up for success long after this tumultuous year is over. You might be wondering, why now? With the pandemic still affecting patients and unpredictability still rife in various industries, why should now be the best time to develop these strategies? Dr. Akram says that, with the onset of the pandemic, a lot of efficiency gaps in practices' communication efforts with patients were brought to the light.
I think previously, there was not a strong need to be able to do mass communication with patients. The kind of form of communication that was either was done one-off, around, hey, you know, I need to send you a message about your prescription refill, or there's a new result that's coming in, or let's schedule you for appointment, or one-off that was kind of in the sense of appointment reminders, or kind of daily, or not daily, but regular appointment messages that may go out. But I think what certainly surfaced was the need to be able to mass message a large group of patients for a variety of reasons that could relate to either scheduling. So suddenly, you know, the governor of your given state says, hey, you know what, medical practices need to close down except for urgent appointments. And so suddenly you got to figure out, how am I going to message all the patients I have scheduled for the next month? And so unless you have a kind of a streamlined, facile way to do it, you know, a lot of clinics are just picking up the phone and starting to call patients because you need to let them know, hey, cancel. So I think in the pandemic, as it's come out, practices have learned that, hey, you know, we need to have a fast way to be able to adapt to all the ways, you know, whether it's what we are currently experiencing in our own practice, or it's a government mandate that I need to be able to mass message patients to educate them, to let them know what the changes are. And so I think that has been a really big impetus in getting practices to look at ways that they can do this, because it just isn't scalable to have to pick up the phone and call every patient.
Dr. Akram's personal practice was actually already set up for telehealth long before the pandemic became an unfortunate reality, providing him with necessary insights and experience to weather the storm. Up next, he provides some examples of what his clients were experiencing during this time.
And so a lot of our clients have become very agile and being able to shift their appointments from one appointment type to another appointment type. And they've got a good sense of when, for a particular visit, it's better for it to be done in person versus it's better for it to be done virtually. But what they've done is they've designed a workflows to be able to kind of take the waves of the different mandates that come from the government that says, hey, look, today we're gonna start shutting down more. And so this mandate is gonna be in place for the next 2 weeks. And so for these practices that have already scheduled in-person visits, they have created ways to be able to suddenly transition a lot of those patients to telehealth visits and back and forth. And I think that's really important because, the end of this is not really clear because there's so much still, again, unknown about this. So I think it's really important for practices to understand that you need to figure out how telehealth can take a stronger hold, but also not just, and I think a lot of folks have jumped on, implementing telehealth in their practices. But what's even more important than that is being able to figure out how you can kind of shift from one model to the other as on a need basis, because it's going to happen where, we're going to see more waves of the infection coming. And so suddenly it'll be safer and better delivery of healthcare for the patient to do that visit from home. But then once the infection rates start coming down, it's probably better for the patient to come back in. And so understanding like what are the nuances and being able to do that and having the facile workflows in place so that you can kind of quickly shift from one to another. And so I think that's really important to like make that core to the strategy, because what we've seen is that in the early phase, when all the clinics started shutting down, they started looking at telehealth, and then they bought, they invested in a telehealth vendor and they started using it. And now as clinics are starting to open up, they're kind of closing that part of their practice, or they're scaling it down. But I think what's really important is that you got to figure out how you can kind of shift from one to the other, because it's going to happen where you know, the infection rates are starting to go up, and you're gonna have to figure out how to shift all the way back one way and the other. And so to be able to kind of take the waves and tides that come with this is gonna be really important.
Dr. Ekram actually published an article with Physicians Practice earlier this year. His article concentrated on a three-pillared approach to establishing a streamlined communication strategy with patients. Up next, Dr. Ekram describes this approach and how practices can meet each pillar's requirements.
We talked about three things, which was educate, identify, and treat. And then we think this is kind of core to your messaging strategy, particularly in the COVID phase. But I think this is something that you know, as practices and physicians, we can learn and take to you know, outside of COVID once we are able to kind of leave this acute phase. So the first phase is educate. And what we really found was that particularly early on when the virus was hitting, a lot of patients just didn't know what to do. And, you know, just like any patient does, if you go search on the internet, you're going to get some truth, some lies, and everything in between. And it's kind of hard to figure out. And so really the source of truth for a lot of patients is their doctor, who they have trust in. And so what we saw that a lot of practices that we currently work with and others who were coming to us just wanted a way to be able to distribute information to their patients. And this could be just educating them on what services are available during this time. You know, as we're going into the COVID phase, like, is my clinic open? How can I help you? You know, what can you do if you start getting symptoms? But also just basic things like, what should you be doing? You know, there's a lot of theories about like how you can prevent the spread of infection and stuff. And so a lot of patients were looking for genuine information, and they didn't, you know, and it was hard to digest what was out there. So the first pillar is educate, you know, educate them about what the virus was about. The next step was identify. And this is really where I think providers took a lot of advantage of, how can I figure out of the, let's just say as a physician, as a primary care doctor, I may have 3,000 patients on my panel. How do I figure out of those who is at risk for the infection? And so that way I can make sure that their needs are met, because now I'm going to be closed for the next month or 2 months. But at the same time, I want to make sure that their needs are met, not only related to the COVID or coronavirus, but to also their chronic conditions that may be going on. And so getting a way to be able to mass communicate to a group of patients that could be either high risk patients, that could be all your diabetic patients, and be able to ask them the right questions to identify, hey, is there a subset of these patients who are experiencing COVID-like symptoms? Are you having shortness of breath? Do you have a fever? Are you having cough? And then that goes in. So that's the first step was educate. The next step was identify. And then so we're using this mass message ability to identify who amongst maybe my 3,000 patients need attention now while I'm closed, or while I'm running services kind of trimmed down relative to my normal services. And the third pillar is treat. So now once I have identified those patients that are at high risk or that may need attention, you know, what do I do with them? So some of the subset of patients, you know, for example, going down the COVID example, some COVID patients do well at home, but some need more urgent or more attention in a more acute phase or an acute setting. And so being able to figure out which treatment path they're going to go down. And again, it's about messaging them to figure out to track their symptoms and be able to identify amongst those who will need a more urgent set of treatments.
A report by Luma Health said that patient communications increased by at least a factor of 37 between March 1st to April 5th of 2020. While Dr. Ekram says that a lot of these communications correlated with those of his three-pillared approach, a lot of them likely related to figuring out scheduling.
I think what we saw was that suddenly, you know, again, government mandate came, or just the patients didn't feel comfortable. There was a lot of appointment cancellations that happened. Mm-hmm. And it was really interesting. It was kind of two-phase driven. Some of it was driven by the patients and them not being comfortable in coming in, because, you know, they're like, you know, I have my annual visit coming up, but, you know, if I do it this month or next month or 3 months later, you know, I don't really see why I need to do it now. Mm-hmm. And so you had a lot of patient-driven cancellations, but also practices were closed. So they did mass cancellations for the next 2 to 3 days, or sorry, 2 to 3 months or weeks, or depending on which state you are and how, you know, how dense the COVID infection was. And so a lot of the communication that we saw, this peak was around this kind of mass messaging around scheduling issues, telling patients, hey, look, we're all closed. Or we're closed, but except for these things that we're still offering. And then as the kind of, depending on, you know, which state you were in, and you know, where you were kind of on the phase of the COVID infection, we saw the reverse happen on the other side, where now they would mass message patients saying, hey, look, now that we've kind of gotten over the big hump of COVID infection, we are now looking at ways to open up. And so here are things we're offering more now. And so it was basically a lot of scheduling and kind of informing patients about service lines that they had. And this kind of thing obviously didn't happen before. And so a lot of the routine communication that was happening kind of had to sort of shut down a little bit. And it was more of doing mass messaging to educate patients about, hey, here are the service lines that are available. Here are the service lines that are not. We're closed today. We're not closed today. So just kind of being able to coordinate a lot of scheduling issues.
During initial reopening phases, a big concern for many practices was how to communicate safety to patients to encourage a return for elective, though essential, procedures and checkups. Ekram says that as practices are opening up, they are experiencing some patients that are very hesitant to return out of fear, but there are a lot of ways to encourage their return.
And so one thing that we work very strongly with our clients is that when you're messaging your patients about reopening, it's really important not just to let them know, hey, we're open and then closed, that's it. You know, let them know what you are actually doing to make sure that their safety is at the center of the focus. And there's a lot of different practices, you know, doing things of, you know, zero contact check-ins and being able to do as much of the process as you can while the patient is sitting in their own car. So we're offering a solution where when patients arrive for their appointment, for their physical appointment, they can do a lot of that pre-appointment paperwork and things right in their car, so they're not unnecessarily exposed by sitting in the waiting room. And then right when the doctor is ready to see them, the patient will get a message and the patient can proceed right from the car right into the exam room and not have to get any unnecessary exposure. And so I think explaining these kind of processes that you put into place is really important because talking to a lot of folks from both on the East Coast and the West Coast, they've done a lot of surveys for patients asking them, are you ready to come in? And most of it's around routine checkups, and a vast majority of patients, and this is true for even in areas that are not impacted by COVID, the patients are just a little bit hesitant. They just don't, you know, they don't want to take unnecessary risk. And particularly when the appointment is kind of like an annual wellness visit, it's like an annual mammogram, where for the patient, there's no urgent need to do it today and it can be delayed. So a lot of patients are delaying it. And so I think it's important for us when we are trying to get patients back in the door that we educate them that, you know, we are doing things to help ensure that their exposure is down to a low and that they can still get the healthcare they need without being unnecessarily put at risk of getting a COVID infection.
Thank you again, Dr. Ekram, for your time and wonderful insights. And thank you all for listening to Perspectives, brought to you by Physicians Practice. We hope you subscribe or listen to podcasts, rate us, and let us know what topics you would like to hear more about. For more practice management insights from the top experts in the field, be sure to visit us at physicianspractice.com and sign up for our newsletter. We'll see you again in 2 weeks.